Pastor Michael, we've been in a season on questions related to the spiritual realm. So today, the question is, what does demonic influence look like? And a follow-up question is that different from demonic possession and or oppression?
Yeah, so think of demonic possession as an actual spirit coming into your mind and body and taking over control. And then we addressed this in an earlier episode.
Yes.
So the idea, though, is that it can't just happen. It actually has to be invited in, or somebody who has spiritual authority over you, like a parent over a child, has to actually invite it for you. Okay. So you don't have to worry about possession unless you're actively inviting demons to take over your body. Okay.
Yeah.
God seems to respect the human will, and the demonic realm is required to do that. Oppression would be a little bit different. Oppression is when there are demonic attacks on you. Again, it's the spirit realm, so giving vocabulary to it. Like, I've never actually seen the spirit realm, so mm-hmm. the best we can do is use biblical examples and vocabulary to kind of give us a picture of it.
Yep.
But there seems to be an attack. It seems to be some kind of oppressive force, an onslaught against you. It could be spiritual warfare. It could be people using demonic tactics against you. But this mm-hmm. idea that your body or your mind or your spirit are just sort of being attacked by demonic forces, right?
Uh-huh.
Influence is different. Influence is more subtle. Mm-hmm. If you think about oppression sort of like an onslaught, influence is quiet. It's subterfuge. It's just a quieter version of attack. And so we define influence like this. It's the use of trickery, which could be, the Bible calls them designs or schemes, to entice your flesh to go further for destruction. Okay, that's a lot. So here's the idea. If I am a demon, what I want to do is I want to trick you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to trick you to go further in your flesh. It could be to lie to get what you want, to go further with that girl or that guy. It could be whatever it is. I want you to kind of, I want to trick you to think like, if I can do this, I won't get caught. Whatever the excuse is, I want you to go do the thing that is sin. And what I'm doing when I do that is I'm breaking your conscience. I'm pushing you into actual sin, some mm-hmm. of which God promises brings judgment. Like, think about all of the sexual sin around us, especially like if you're a high school student or college student mm-hmm. or you're in your early 20s, you have all of these kind of one-liners that are just sort of by trickery, by subterfuge, by scheme and design, like kind of put into your head.
Yep.
Well, I didn't get caught last time. It was no big deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, she or he wants it, so it's good. It's only once. It's just sex. Like, nobody will ever have to find out. I mean, everybody's doing it. Mm-hmm. I could go on and on and on and on. And yeah. I didn't plan that. Those were all just off the top of my head,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
All of these are examples of kind of cultural mantras, subterfuge, trickery, design schemes to sort of enable you just to go further in your flesh. And here's the funny thing about going further. And we've heard this story, gosh, I don't even know how many times, hundreds.
Yeah.
A guy and a girl, a boyfriend and a girlfriend, they cross a physical line, okay? They feel bad, they talk about it, they repent, they apologize to each other, et cetera. Well, guess what happens the next time they cross a line? They go right up to that point, mm-hmm. right? And then it's just an inch further, right? So what the demonic realm knows is that when we cross a line, that we will go back to that line again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what the conscience is afraid to do, the unseared conscience, is to cross lines it hasn't crossed yet. So once you cross a line, there's a searing of a conscience that happens there. And so we are much more prone to go right up to where we've been before because yeah. we've already done it. Nobody died. It was fine. You know,
yeah.
until there's like a consequence, we will keep pushing the line further.
Yeah.
And so the demonic influence is this idea that, listen, we're going to kind of create a cultural environment, an environment in your mind, your soul, your relationships that just sort of enables you to keep going further. So.
Yeah.
If you're in a situation, and it could be online, it could be with pornography, it could be with a girl, it could be with drugs, it could be with lying or stealing or something at school, cutting corners, all of these are small conscience violations. And next time you'll just go a little further. You, my friend, are going to be under the influence, a demonic influence, if this is kind of your story.
Yep.
All right. So let me read a couple scriptures.
Yep.
Ephesians 6:11. Very simple. It says, stand against the schemes of the devil. Like, what do you think of when you think of scheming?
Like conniving. I think of, yeah. like, I don't know, somebody that's like world domination.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, like Dr. Evil. Yeah.
Did you ever watch Pinky and the Brain? You know?
Yes, yeah.
What are we going to do today?
You know, it's a perfect example.
World, you know? And all right, so here's one. 2 Corinthians 2:11. We are not ignorant of his designs. Mm. Oh, interesting. So he's designing something that he wants us to be ignorant of. And the Apostle Paul is like, oh, we're not ignorant. We're actually going to shine a light on it. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of a design is that it's a secret, right? It's subtle. It's subterfuge. It's under the surface here. So we got scheming and we got designing. And what I like about the word designing, and in the Greek, this is what it means. So this is like not just an English thing. It's this idea that he is thinking and putting his mind to work to trick.
Mm-hmm.
He's creating these traps, you know?
Yeah, I think of like an architect, like really, thoughtful and like skillful. Like it takes a lot of work to be able to design a building or, you know, design a structure and like, yeah, there's a lot to that.
Now imagine you have a whole bunch of demons who've been watching humans and they're like on a whiteboard. They're like, let's design something. I know this guy really well. He's got that age old weakness. This worked for the last 17 million people who had that weakness. So let's do it for him. Like the designing, the scheming, 2 Timothy 2:26, Paul calls it the snare of the devil, being captured by him to do his will. And the whole point of a snare is it's hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And so you catch an animal, you know, and it's like, oh, I'm in the snare. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know about y'all, but we have to catch mice sometimes at home.
we've been there.
And I'm like, I put the little trap in. I put it right where I know they're going to be. Yep. I'm really intentional with it. It's the right kind of food. And you know what? I get them every time.
Mm-hmm.
They're so dumb. They do the same thing.
Yeah.
And like humans are the same way. We are. And I mean this with all due respect to all of us, because I've fallen into traps. You have. We're all just so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
We all just fall right into the things that everybody before us has always fallen into. And then we're like, well, why do I need to go to church? Why do I need Christians around my life? Because we remind ourselves of the traps, the designs, mm-hmm. the schemes, the snares. And we highlight these things. It's why we need to be regularly told sometimes the same old truths, because
we're forgetful.
We're like mice. We just fall into the trap. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to fall into the trap.
Yeah.
I want to. Yeah.
So a follow-up question, why is Satan so desperate to influence us?
Oh, this is great. There are things Satan cannot do to you, but you can do them to you.
Mm.
And so this is the principle. Satan, he wants to destroy you, but he can't. Only you can destroy you, or God, right? So there are rules in the spiritual realm. That's why you and me aren't being punched in the face right now by possessed people or by spirits. You know what I mean? There are actual rules of proximity, and we find ourselves protected by these all the time. And so here's the deal. They're just things he can't do to you. But if he can trick you to do them to yourself, man, you of your own free will can go do that drug or that thing with that girl or that guy or lie or cheat or steal or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the trickery. You're doing it to yourself.
Yeah.
He didn't force you.
Yeah.
And when you stand before Jesus on the day of judgment, you'd be like, I didn't know that smoking crack was wrong. Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did. I didn't know that girl. You knew. You suppressed your conscience. You fell for the trap. You fell for the design. You took the cultural mantras in. You repeated them to yourselves. You knew. At any moment, if Jesus were to stop you, like you're doing that thing with that girl, right? And if he were to stop you in that moment and say, is this right? I didn't know this. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. You're without, and you'll be without excuse.
Yeah.
We are all without excuse.
Right. This is the genius of the trickery is he gets us to do to ourselves what he can't do to us.
Yeah.
So smart.
So what are some common ways he does influence us? Satan can influence us.
Yeah. I think if you're going to be honest with yourself, you know that you have weak points spiritually, places of vulnerability. Everybody does. For a lot of people, there's some similarities, but everyone's kind of unique and different. And so I think one of the first things you need to be aware of are, where are the places where you violated your conscience in the past, where you keep going just a little bit further? Those are your weak points. And he knows them. Jesus knows them, and the demonic realm knows them. Your spirit knows them. Everyone is aware of your weak points, okay? And so you just need to be really aware of those things and understand that when you start repeating to yourself cultural mantras, I won't get caught. It's just this time. I'll stop after this. It doesn't hurt anybody. She's okay with it. He's okay with it. The moment you start repeating these ridiculous things that enable you to go just a little bit further, I think you just need to know, like, you're literally about to step on a trap. And the problem is, you don't know how dangerous this time it's going to be. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. So that would be one. I would just say you pay attention to the places where you have been tempted to go further. I would also pay very close attention to who is influencing your mind, and it could be on social media or friends. So in the garden, one of the things that the devil says to Eve is, it's a simple question. Did God really say? So let's just pull this back. There is always going to be someone in your life that will enable you to do the thing you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know it's wrong. There will always be an influencer online. There will always be somebody, like, I'm just so struck when it comes to the issue of the Bible and homosexuality. You can find any quote unquote theologian to tell you anything you want to hear, no matter what your position is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
You can always find someone to affirm.
Always.
Yeah.
And so, but here's the deal. When someone is affirming what you know deep down inside to be sin, just be aware the devil is not above raising up compromised people to influence you to go further. And I think it comes back to this principle. You're just going a little further. Mm-hmm. And if you start to look back on like the story of your life, you'll start to realize the one-liners you told yourself to justify the thing or the people in your life. It's interesting. So for the book of Proverbs, the seductive woman is that person, mm-hmm. and she's luring you, right? And for some women, it's going to be some seductive guy who lures you and plays into your insecurities and weaknesses. We can start looking back over our lives to the people who were just enticing us to go a little bit further. That friend who, you know, you're at the mall and it's like, let's just steal this thing. It's no big deal. We'll get away with it. It'll be a rush. Mm-hmm. You know, we can all think about that friend who was like, just a little further.
Yep.
And then you will realize you have been the victim of demonic influence, but you always chose it.
Yeah.
You're responsible.
That's what's fascinating is like the interplay. You mentioned mm-hmm. that one of the last episodes of like how those things interact. We don't exactly know yeah. like how that works in the spiritual realm, but we have a choice. We have will, free mm-hmm. will, and we get to make decisions mm-hmm. and God allows us to make those decisions and then reap the consequences of those, yeah. whether good or bad.
Yeah.
And that's what's so interesting of like you said, the subterfuge and how sinister like the devil is and
sinister demons, is a good word,
demons yeah. are when it comes to how yeah. it works.
Yeah. Yeah. You've probably heard me beat the drum in the pulpit for the last year. I am fully responsible for everything I do or don't do. I am. Nobody's forcing me. Like every decision I make, I take extreme responsibility for it. Some for good, some for bad. And that is a hard thing for a victim culture to comprehend, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I keep going after it, because there's so many victim culture-minded people in any church all over the world, right?
Yep.
And I'm just like, you're not a victim. You might be a victim. Some people are actual victims. But when it comes yes. to the decisions we make, I'm not a victim. I take full responsibility for every decision I make. That statement alone, some people cannot say. But we're trying to get everyone in our church to that place of... I take full responsibility for what I do.
Yeah. I had a teacher when I was growing up that used to say, the choices we make us. Mm. And that's always stuck with me because like the decisions you make to go a little bit further
yeah.
now shapes you a little bit more to be more like that type of person that's willing to go a little bit further. Mm-hmm. And then you keep going further and like, but they're all a result of your own choices and your own decisions, which is, it's sobering to think yeah. about that we still have a big part to play in this. Yeah. You know, we're not, like you said, we're not victims.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I have an unusual amount of experience making dumb decisions. And then there's nothing like, you know, like you have kids, you know, and there's nothing like watching your kids do something dumb and you're like, I did that same thing. Mm-hmm. Or when your kids make excuses, you know, and you're like, that's ugly. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And so whether you're a parent or you're a friend or you're in spiritual leadership or you're a pastor, it doesn't matter. There are so many people around us doing these things and we realize, I don't want to be that. Mm-hmm. And so we look at ourselves and say, nope, I want to be somebody who takes responsibility. Wow, they really fell for those traps. Yeah. Wow, when I heard them talk about self-justify, they're taking one step further. Yeah. I don't want to do that. So you start opening up your eyes. You start yeah. to see other people and you're like, I don't want to be like that. And
yeah.
So that's kind of been like, I watch so much of this in myself and others that I'm like, I'm done. I'm done making excuses. I'm done being a victim. I'm done yeah. all that, you know,
yep.
and I'm done falling for the traps and I still do, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But when I do, then I'm like, ah, Got it. You got me on that one, but I'm not going to let that happen
again.
You
know? Yeah. Well, I think this episode is so good because we talked about oppression and possession, mm-hmm. and those are more of the rarities, yeah. the exceptions, but the influence, like when people start to become aware of like, how does the devil and his demons influence me? That's why we pray, like, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And like, we need that discernment that we talked about last episode of being aware of exactly where these attacks are coming from and how I have blind spots and being aware of those. And so I think it's really important for people listening that like, we need to be praying, we need to be in God's word, and we need to be doing it every single day, because the attacks, whether they're traps that are hidden or they're more obvious, like they're going to keep coming and keep coming. And we just have to be very aware and very discerning. Amen. So I appreciate all of your insight on that. So thank you.